the Upside Down Rock Show with me, Doris Brendel, on Hard Rock Hell Radio. Come and join me. So you're no good for me, and I'm nowhere to be true.
I'm gazing upward, a world I can't embrace. There's only thorns and splinters, venom in my veins. It's okay to cry out when it's driving you insane. But somehow, someday, I'll have to face the pain. It's all gone cold. But no one wants the blame. It's all so wrong. But who am I? Who am I to say? I'm begging for forgiveness, everything I've done. If God is listening, He knows I'm not the only one. It's okay to lash out from the rules that I'm enslaved. But somehow, someday, I'll have to turn the page. It's all gone cold, and no one wants to change. It's all so wrong, but no one wants the pain. It's all gone cold. An endless winter filled with rage. I'm looking forward to forgetting yesterday. It's all gone cold.
Welcome to another Upside Down show with me, Doris Brendel. It's great to have your company. That was Five Finger Death Punch. I played one of their tracks last week as well, and I will be playing more of those because I think it's a really great album released last year. That track was called Cold. So yes, more from them to come. What are we doing this week? Well, I've got some amazing news. You'll probably already have seen it if you follow my Facebook, but if you haven't, I shall tell you all about it a little bit later on. As usual, we're going to go back to the lockdown files with Lee Dunham, and we're going to start with a clip where we were trying to organise our first tour after coronavirus. Well, it was still kind of going on and we were still talking about bubbles and things like that, and organising the tour proved to be rather complicated. The tour seemed like quite sorted out. And within 2 days of recording that and going, oh, well, we've got a sound guy and all this, it all kind of went pear-shaped, didn't it?
It all went down the pan.
Because we kind of organised things and bubbles and, you know, because of the COVID thing. And then the person that we were going to use kind of went, yeah, I don't want to do that after all. So we're at this sort of weird situation where we're kind of seeing what other options we have.
Yeah, we're trying to get the members, because we are quite a little, the Doris Drendel family is quite, well, it's actually called the Boris Drendel family. We're quite close, and the outsiders aren't welcome. You know, we stand and guard our family quite protectively. So when someone of the family can't do a gig or can't do a show, it causes a little bit of a friction trying to find someone who fits in the family well enough. And sometimes people don't, and sometimes people do, and it's quite difficult to try and get someone to fit in that gap.
Yeah, and it's not even, you know, I mean, there's so many different elements of things that have to fit. And we're all really different personalities, but there's, you know, one of the things is sense of humour. The other thing, obviously, is just dependability, reliability, helpfulness on tour, you know, mucking in, everyone helping each other. There's, you'd be amazed how few people fit in. And usually when we get new band members, there's a little certain amount of kind of training up that has to be done, isn't there?
Yeah, trying to get the common ground between new members or new family members to try and get them to fit or not. It's a bit of both, you know. It's a bit like, because if you don't get it right before you go on tour, then it will fail on tour, and then you will lose the gigs that you're doing because of arguments, because of people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, because of, there's so many different things that are expected of a musician on tour. And there's so many things that some musicians don't understand what's expected of them. So unless you actually lay it out, what this is the rules, this is how it's going to work, this is it.
What?
And then make sure that everyone's on board with that. Then it's fine. And then you find out quite early on whether people want to be sort of restricted or not. And if they don't want to be restricted, they'll soon tell you. And then you find that you lose that person anyway. But it's a good thing that you're losing them before the tour than on the tour.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise it just creates really bad feeling. And, I mean, we've already had that where certain disagreements or certain, you know, things have been so unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been like you just kind of go, why... You know, so before you even go on tour, you've got bad feelings, and you kind of go, well, this person is not, you know, doesn't want to do the job.
That's right.
And it does make it really, really difficult. But of course, you know, it's also difficult finding, you know, staff that are good enough, and you know, there's so many problems. So hopefully, fingers crossed, somebody we know quite well is going to do it instead. But we'll have to find out.
Yes, we'll keep you posted, but it's 95% pure positiveness, 95% nearly there, I'd say.
We had a couple of days of absolute panic and lots of late night phone conversations like, oh, this is not going to plan. And I'm not dealing with stress very well this year. And I wonder if it's because I've been so sort of shelter at home or whether it's the operation. And it's probably a combination of all of it.
Could be.
But things have been stressing me out. So poor Lee, I'm straight on the phone to him going, stress.
My new if Daz phones me after, she doesn't ever phone me in the evening normally because she's been too busy watching Netflix or whatever. But
Well,
I know that when she phones me in the evening that something's bothering her. She needs to get up for just and fix it or else she can't sleep. So I'm like, right, okay.
That's it,
so
yes.
my new phone call answering tone is this. Hello, Lee Dunham's late night counselling service. That's my new late night answering tone that I've got now.
Was Emmerhoff and the Melancholy Babies, Repercussionist, is a band from Norway, sort of proggy 70s rock psychedelia. Really like what they do. I think they do some really interesting stuff. And the one you just heard, Skindred from Newport, ragga metal with a track called You Got This. And right, we're going to go back to the lockdown files. And for people who actually listen to the original podcast, which are still, by the way, up on in their entirety, up on my website, dorisbrendel.com, if you fancy it, they're sort of elongated versions of the clips that I play. But those who've actually heard some of those are probably familiar with a feature that we started called Cat News, because I got myself a rescue cat and it was a sort of endless source of amusement. And this really is the start of a whole big thing to come. I mentioned it on the podcast that's coming out tomorrow. It's coming out on the 21st. So people will know that I've had a cat. But when we recorded this, I hadn't picked her up yet. And I picked her up Saturday morning. And she was quite feisty in the car, actually. Mm. She was in this little carry cot.
In what way?
Well, I thought, because she's so nervous, I mean, it's ridiculous. She's this tiny little cat with big yellow eyes that just kind of goes, I hate life at the moment. You know, she's really nervous. So, I mean, who knows what happened to her when she was young? Or maybe she's just nervous, you know, got a nervous disposition.
Just nervous cat, yeah,
exactly, don't know. But I'll never know. But so I kind of expected her to be cowering in her carry case.
Yeah.
And just sort of shivering gently on the side of the, you know, in the car. She wasn't. She was very meowy. And at the front, there were, I think she just wanted to get out, as in, let me out. I want to disappear outside. But the, like the front of the carry case is like a sort of square grid mesh.
Yeah.
But it's quite big.
Yeah.
And she kept sticking her paws out.
Oh, what, through the cage?
Yeah, through the cage, sticking a whole paw out, trying to grab imaginary things from the air, or possibly thinking, how can I undo this thing? So I kept, as I was driving, the traffic was just horrendous on Saturday. There were two accidents on the M40, and I luckily found another way round, but it was just horrible. And I kept apologising to Kat, going, I'm sorry, it's the traffic, you know. But I kept seeing these paws coming out, going, I know I can undo this case somehow.
What imaginary things do you think she was trying to grab? I reckon she was trying to grab the imaginary set of keys that were hanging, dangling just there in her mind.
Yes.
Some keys there. I can unlock the door.
Either that or a steering wheel. imaginary steering wheel. Let me drive. Yeah, it's not going fast enough. So I was quite surprised at that because I thought, God, that's quite feisty. She's so anyway, we got home and I mean, I'm set. I've got the treats. I've got the goodie bag I got from the shelter was amazing. I think it's because I gave him some extra for the charity. I got all these little things, sachets of posh food and treat bags, and I've already bought some as well.
What for you?
But yeah, for me. I love some tuna treats. Yeah,
it might have been. I don't know what they used. I've got a great goodie bag, and I was like, well, is it for you? I don't know.
Well, you know, everything is made to look good for the cat owners rather than the cats. But
okay,
yeah, it looks amazing. All these little sachets and bags, and of course, I got some catnip mice for her, and I just thought, you know, she's going to absolutely hate it. What can I do to try and make life nice? And I said after I met her, I said, she's probably just going to disappear for a week.
Yeah, probably.
She's just going to disappear for a week. So I got home. It was Saturday morning, and I obviously made sure all the doors were shut. And she's got her little blanket in the carry case. So I opened up the door, and I stepped back, and I thought, just let her, you know, do her thing. And she got out.
Yeah.
And she saw the back door and the garden and started meowing, going, let me out. Let me the f*** out of here. She was meow, meow, meow. And then she tried to jump on the windowsill because the pot plant on there. So that didn't work. And I'm like, I can't let you out. I'm sorry. I can't. That's one thing I really can't do. So then she tried to squeeze under the piano and kind of went, yeah, no, that's a bit tight.
Feeling so entrapped every time I wake up and trying to escape, but every door I open just keeps on closing. How much more of this am I supposed to take? I've been trying to surrender, but my arms are hurting, my flag is burning. I don't know what's going on, what the but it feels like I'm
And I don't care if I'm in.
She lay awake at night, relieved or
That was the Fever Kings from Newcastle, a bit of old rock with a track called Paralyzed. Followed by, yep, it was me, of course, from the blues album Big Blue Sky. The track is Under the Covers. I know it's not rock, but I tell you why I played it. I mentioned earlier I had some exciting news. So if you haven't seen it already, we have been, well, the album has been nominated by the UK Blues Federation as for Album of the Year. Which is really, really exciting because we're not used to being nominated. I mean, I know I won one award, but I thought that'd be it for the next 50 years if I'm still alive. So this is was a real surprise because it's the only blues album we've done. And of course, we're up against some really big blues artists. So of course, we're not going to win, but it's so exciting. I do love it. And it's great for Lee as well, who put so much into the production of it. So we will be going to the awards in April and just sort of hanging out and rubbing shoulders with people that are far more famous than us. No, it's going to be fun. Really, really going to enjoy it. The third track we played that I haven't mentioned yet, Trope from Canada. Apparently they're now based in LA with a track called Sigil. Sort of a bit of a pop rock, but I thought it was a really nice track. Right, it is time to go back to Cat News. And then, you know, I bought this tree, scratching post tree. It's this amazing cat contraption.
Yeah.
And I had to get, it was like an IKEA thing, and I had to actually get Dean to help me put it together because it involved quite a lot of screws and things, and it was like, oh my God, and yeah. Allen keys and stuff. So yeah. Job for the Dean. So we put this, and do you know what? It's like grey and fluffy, and it's so soft and fluffy everywhere. We were stroking it going, oh my God, we don't actually need a cat. We can just have this.
stroke the cat tree. Come here, cat tree.
It was
stroke
just shy, soft and lovely. It was like, who
it's
needs
not,
a cat?
It's like known. It's just sitting there. It doesn't run away. It's lovely. The cat
if
tree.
If I'd known, I would have just bought the cat tree. Instead of feed it or nothing. Just go and stroke it and put your face against it and go, oh, it's soft. It's lovely. It's all fluffy and furry. And it was, and Dean was as well going, oh God, I feel so, gosh, shame it's not big enough. I'd sleep in that. So she spotted the cat tree.
Yeah.
And basically at the top, there's a sort of open plan bed thing.
Right.
And in the middle, there's a sort of box. If you can imagine a square cube,
yeah.
But it's got two sort of domed entrances,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
So this is slightly more open plan cube.
Right.
And then the bottom one has just got one entrance at the front. And it's quite deep, you know. So she spotted that and went, I'm going in there. So she just dove in there.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, okay. So I took a blanket, and which has obviously got a scent on it and stuff, and put it in after that. And I thought, right, you've got a nice little nest there. So I was really happy because I thought, I know where she is.
Yeah.
She's using the tree. She feels set. I thought, God, that's a result. That's brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
And she was there the whole day. And, of course, I put a water bowl out for her and I put some biscuits out. You know, nothing else going to go off too much.
Yeah.
And I just left her alone. I mean, my plan is just leave her alone.
Yeah.
When she's ready, she'll come to me. All right?
True.
That's
yeah.
just leave her alone. Make sure she's all right. Make sure she's got water. So I thought she'd probably come out at night. When it's yeah. quiet and it's dark and everyone's gone to bed.
Right.
And so Saturday night, she was just in that thing. She didn't move. She didn't use a litter tray. She didn't eat nothing. I put a treat on her blanket. She didn't even go for that.
Right.
So really scared. So, okay, fine. So Saturday night, I'm upstairs on the computer. Everything's, yeah. I've switched everything off. The lights are off. I hear this almighty crash. So it's like, oh, cat's about. So I went downstairs and she tried to climb the scale of the bookcase.
Right.
And obviously managed to take some books with her, and there were some books on the floor, and my cushion from the sofa was on the floor, and I went, right, okay, so she got on there, she tried, she's looking for another place.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the cats, I thought, I don't think she's hurt herself, so anyway, I picked up the books and stuff, and I haven't seen her since. She's somewhere in the living room, because we've made sure all the other doors are shut, so she can't really go anywhere else. She's somewhere in the living room, she's not behind the piano, I've looked, she's not behind the sofa, she's not anywhere in the bookcase, but I mean, there's so many places she can hide for a cat to hide in that living room.
Perhaps she's a perhaps she grew up in a library and she's a reader. She likes reading books. She's just stolen some of your books and she's taken off to have a little read.
Well, she's probably squished into a space, like she's probably under the sofa rather than behind it, or something ridiculous, you know, because it's amazing what cats can hide in if they want to.
They can, yeah. They can get into small spaces.
She's not under the piano, behind the piano, because I've had a cursory look just to see if I can spot her, and I haven't. But I know she's nowhere. She's got out, so she's somewhere in the living room, and I didn't see her all day yesterday.
What?
Not a right. peep. Not nothing. A peep. Nothing. Right. Didn't eat anything during the night, or very what? Little if she did. I thought, oh, okay. And last night, she came out again because the litter tray has been used.
Ah.
She's had a good wee in the litter tray.
Well done. You sure that weren't Dean?
What, after stroking the tree for a bit? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's what you made me want to use that litter tray over there.
Yeah, use the litter tray over there.
Yeah, I don't think so, because it's been sort of a bit has been sort of chucked out and stuff. And I thought, well, that's good. At least she's kind of using that, and she's found that, and she's prowling around. Right. But she still hasn't eaten. And I left a few treats and things for her on the table, and just sort of, you know, just stuff to tempt her while she's prowling around. She still hasn't touched any of that. So right. She's obviously still really upset. And that's my biggest worry, is her not eating.
Perhaps she's just killing all the mice.
I don't know if there's mice around. But I mean, apparently she's been a picky eater anyway. She's been, but she's just obviously too upset to eat still.
Come on!
That was alt rock band Ginger Evil from Finland with A Last Frontier. I really like that band. I've played quite a few of their tracks. I think they're really interesting and, absolutely up my street. And the one you just heard, they're Dutch Finnish. Eye of Melian, they're called, Blackthorn Winter. I think of it as sort of orchestral fairy tale rock, very, very cinematic. So we've got time for one last clip from Cat News. But in the meantime, I've got to stroke the cat tree. She's not back in the cat tree tonight, so she's sticking to her super duper hiding space, wherever that is.
Put some tin of tuna on.
Well, I think I'm going to leave that till tomorrow because, you know, there comes a point where she's going to be so hungry that maybe I can tempt her out with that.
Yeah.
What I don't want is to put it out prematurely and it goes off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she's too scared at the moment to come out and to eat. So, I like I say, the longer I leave it, the more kind of comfort, you know, the more she's going to realise she's safe.
What happens if you never see her again?
Well, if after a week she hasn't eaten, I'm going to have to phone the cat shelter and go, what do I do now? And see if there's a plan. But the problem is I don't know where she's hidden exactly. I mean, then me and Dean will have to just kind of take the room apart and see where she's gone.
Wow.
Which would be a shame, but that will really freak her out, you see. So I'd rather not do that if possible.
I wonder what the weirdest place that anyone's ever found a cat is.
Oh, mate, when I had a cat, I had a cat about 30 years ago called Boo.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I moved flat, she got really freaked out. They do hate moving. It's really stressful.
Oh, yeah,
stressful
they do, yeah. No,
super stressful. So my cat, I'd had her since a kitty, so she knew me really well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that she didn't know me, but just the move really, really freaked her out. Yeah. And we didn't see her for 3 days. Again, I was really worried, and we looked everywhere. And this was like a student flat. There were 6 of us. Yeah. And there were only so many places she could be. And there wasn't that much stuff. It wasn't like my living room downstairs, which is chocker full of stuff, you know, and there's loads of hiding places. There really weren't that many.
Right.
And we just went, she must be in here somewhere, but we could not find her. And do you know where she ended up? There were 2 bathrooms in this flat, really sparse. You know, this is a, you know, almost housing estate kind of place, you know, really functional, really cheap furniture, not a lot in it.
Yeah.
Really basic bathroom, shared bathroom. And there wasn't a lot in it except that there was a box of washing powder.
Yeah.
Which looked like it was flush against the wall.
Right.
But it had, I don't know, it was probably about an inch away from the wall. She'd been hiding behind that.
I thought you were going to say in it. She'd been hiding behind it.
Because nobody looked there because it just didn't look like you could fit a cat there.
No.
And that's where she'd been. That's where she'd been.
That's amazing.
And that's what I mean. When cats really want to hide, it's nuts at what they manage to hide, you know, the tiny space that they manage to use. But she'd been there for 3 days. That's it for another week. Thank you so much for being here with me. Hope you'll join me again next week. I'm going to leave you with a couple of tracks. Indie pop rock from Northern Ireland with a band called Vera and a track called Ketchup. And to see us out, a bit of electronica alternative metal from Sweden. We Are the Catalyst and the track is The Awakening. Have a great week. Speak to you soon.
I got ketchup stains all down my shirt. I promise this one's gonna hurt. I swear I'm through with city boys talking sh**, making noise. Angel, the heart hit the crossbar. I broke the script, but you're the star. Gold medalist of bad ideas. Fatal crash, can't be saved. But maybe next week we'll be in a better place. The tea.